I love books. I think that is probably pretty obvious if you follow me anywhere on social media. I love reviewing books. I love talking to authors. I love writing. I love books. And today I'm going to have one of my favorite authors on the interview, and I'm really excited about it. You may hear birds in the background, my husband on the tractor, or the children playing with the dogs. This is Real Life on the Prairie with Donita Fogelman of prairie-trail.com, weathering the dust storms of life with God's divine help. And I have with me Shanna Hatfield. Welcome.
Thank you. It's so fun to be here with you today.
I'm so excited to have you.
I'm excited to be here.
You are definitely one of my favorite authors.
Oh, you're so sweet.
I think some of my favorite books are your Christmas books. Mm-hmm. You always do a neat fundraiser during that time of the year. We're not in that time, but you want to tell people kind of what you do with that?
Absolutely. Yeah. So October 1st through Christmas Eve, I donate 10% of the proceeds from all my book sales. So it's digital, paperback, audio, whatever. Even my children's books count. But anyway, I donate 10% of the proceeds from all that to the Justin Cowboy Crisis Fund. I first heard about them when I was researching the first book in my rodeo romance series. I had some questions and ended up talking to someone from the Justin sports medicine team, and they, you know, were telling me about the Justin Cowboy Crisis Fund, and it's such a great organization. This fall will be my 10th year to run my Read a Book, Help a Cowboy campaign, and that's the campaign I use as the fundraiser for the JCCF. But 100% of every donation made, so every penny that gets donated to them, goes straight into the fund. They don't take out administrative fees or anything like that. And I think that's pretty unique in today's fundraising landscape. And they really give rodeo athletes, it's a hand up, not a hand out. It's for when they are injured so badly they can't compete. And for rodeo athletes, it's never if they get injured, it's more when they get injured. And so it's a really nice safety net for them to have, because a lot of them have trouble getting insurance just because it is such a dangerous sport. And so to have that there can help them and help their families, just give the injured athlete time to heal instead of worrying about how am I going to pay the, you know, the rent or the house payment or the power or buy groceries or whatever until I can heal enough to compete again. And so I just think it's a great organization. And since so many of my stories are about cowboys and I have the whole rodeo series, I just feel like it's my way to give back to the people that inspire so many of my books.
I think that's just wonderful. Being a cowgirl myself, I didn't make it to competition, not very much, just the small stuff. I broke horses whenever I was young because I was lighter weight than my mom. My mom was 6 foot tall and she was a little. So I would get on the colts before she did and start working with them. And when I was 13, I had one break me. So flipped over on top of me and broke my pelvic bone. And so I understand how hard it is to recover from something like that, especially if that's a big part of your life, much less all of it. And then your income, you know, it wasn't my income at that point, right. But it was a pretty, pretty huge thing. So whenever I found out that you were doing it, I'm like, oh my goodness, I missed it this last year. But yeah, 10 years, that's amazing. So when did you publish your first book?
My first book, I actually published 4 stories all at once. I published them in June of 2011. I had written one book and I started doing research about what you needed to do as an indie author. And I had read something that said you needed to have a wide and deep bookshelf. So you needed to have a variety of books and you needed to have series. And I was like, well, I can't just put one book out there and not have anything else. So I actually wrote a short story. It's kind of a prequel to the first book I'd written. And then I wrote two more books in that series. And so I released them all on the same day and things just went from there.
Wow. Wow. That's neat. And so how many books do you have published so far?
My 108th book came out in January.
Oh my goodness. You have been so busy.
I have been busy, but I love it. It's, you know, it's that old saying, when you find something you love, you'll never work another day in your life. And I do. Writing is my passion. It's my hobby. It's my job. It's all that all rolled into one. And I love it. I feel so incredibly blessed to be able to do something I love every day and have people read it and get paid for it.
Yeah. Awesome. Wonderful. You have a wonderful community online. And you said that you were blessed. I noticed, and of course, I like reading clean books, and yours are very clean. Does faith come into your writing?
It does. I feel like kind of the three things I incorporate in every book, and it's kind of a little tagline I have, is heart, humor, and hope. And I feel like faith and hope are tied together in that. And I feel like I don't necessarily, as you probably know, I don't get preachy in my books, but faith is definitely part of the lives of all of my characters. I feel like that's very important to them, even if it's not abundantly shared throughout the book.
Right, right. And your Facebook group is Shanna's Hopeless Romantics.
Yeah.
And I noticed you kind of carry that theme into the group as well. Sharing hope. You're just really good at that. And the
thing throughout there.
Where can people find you online?
Pardon?
Where all can people find you online?
Oh, sure. Well, definitely on my Facebook group. We try to keep that very uplifting, I guess. I just want it to be a place where people feel safe and have fun and, you know, just kind of shut out the rest of the world. And let's just talk about books and recipes and crafts and fun things. So they can find me there. They can find me on my Facebook author page. They can find me on Instagram, on Twitter. I don't hang out a lot on Instagram or Twitter, but I do have a presence there. They can also find me on Pinterest. I absolutely love Pinterest. I'm always spinning stuff. And then I have my website, just shannahatfield.com. And they can, another great way to stay in touch and keep up on all the writerly news is my newsletter too. It's been a really fun way to connect with my readers.
Yeah. I get your newsletter. And then I follow you on Amazon too.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Amazon, BookBub, yep. Goodreads. I guess I should throw those in there too.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I get several emails every time you pop out another one. It's because I get them from the different places. That's fun. What is your favorite thing about being an author?
Favorite thing? I think, I don't know if I have one, this is the favorite thing, but one of my favorite things is just connecting with readers. It's so fun to just hear their takes on, you know, what characters they like or what books their favorite, or just to be able to connect with people on that one-on-one level over something that we're all passionate about, which is reading and books. I absolutely love that. And I also love being able to take the stories in my head and put them on paper and share them with people who seem to enjoy them.
Oh, that's awesome. And how do you usually, whenever you start a new book, what's your process?
Okay. I am a very visual person. So the visuals have to come first. Like once I start thinking of a storyline and start playing the what if, like what if there was a girl and she did this? And what if there was a guy and he did that? Then I have to get my visual. So that's why I use Pinterest a lot. I have a board, basically like a vision board for each and every book that I do. And so I'll figure out, okay, who is this character? What do they look like? And so I'll put pins of character ideas or, you know, even house plans or settings, recipes, like anything that I might include in the book goes into my Pinterest board. And then I just start writing. I'm not much of a plotter. I'm more of a write by the seat of my pants. So I like the characters to kind of lead the direction and instead of having it plotted out. I did try to plot a book once. I think it was maybe about my 10th one. I thought, okay, everybody's talking about how you should plot these things out. And I did all this plotting worksheets and all this stuff. And 3 weeks in, I'd still only written like 10,000 words. I'm like, okay, done with this. Back to what works for me. And I think that was a really good lesson because what works for one person doesn't work for another person. So you just have to figure out what brings out your creative juices and go with that.
I love the way you do that with Pinterest. I really enjoy Pinterest. And I'm a visual person, a very visual person. And that's a wonderful idea to you. You're basically plotting out your world whenever you do that for a book. Yes. So you're just doing it more of a visual way than what right. some people would think. That's really neat. About how long does it take you to write a novel?
A good day of writing for me is about 10,000 words a day. And so if I'm in the zone in writing, you know, I can write a short book in a week. And if it's a longer book, it usually takes 2 or 3 weeks, depending on how much research I'm doing while in between writing. Because sometimes I'll be, especially with the historical, I'll be writing something. And I'm like, wait, was that even a thing then? Was that, you know, like the last book I was writing, is set in 1894. And so I was like, is that a paint color option? So, you know, I had to dive down the what paint colors did they have in the 1890s? And, you know, and I love the research stuff. So that's not a hard thing for me to have to do is the research. But it does figure into how long it takes me to write because, you know, it takes time to stop and research and then go on with things. But it's all fun. So usually to answer your question a long roundabout way, I can write a novella easily in a week or a longer book is usually 2 to 3 weeks.
Okay. Well, I love the roundabout because do you ever have a reader that really pays attention to those details? Do you have like historians that read your books and say, well, you know, back in that time period or give you any additional information about the time period?
I have had, I'm pretty meticulous about trying to make sure any historical detail I include is a historic fact. I'm trying to be really, really careful about that. So I haven't had too many say, hey, this isn't true. When I, one of the early books I wrote, I had included that in town, they had electricity and one of the homes had indoor plumbing. And in fact, that town actually did have those things available at that time. It's just most people couldn't afford it. And so I had a reviewer say that it was ridiculous to say that they had those things because they didn't exist for, you know, 30 more years or whatever. I'm like, actually they do, but that was what inspired me to start including author's notes in the back of my stories. And I talk about details that I think might be a question for some of them. So if they're thinking, did this exist or why did she do that? I try and think ahead to answer those questions before they're asked in my author's note. And that seems to really help. And I've had so many readers reach out and say how much they love the author's notes because it just gives them so much more depth to the story than they might have had if they'd just read the book and not had all that background information about it. Because even with my contemporaries, I'll share like where I got a crazy idea for a scene or something, because they're usually crazy things that have happened to me or my husband or someone we know. So it's just fun to include all that in the books.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes reality is harder to believe than fiction.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I love in mine, I put a big list of references in the back of the book. And I just think, you know, some people want more. And
they do.
Yeah.
They do.
That's really nice to. Oh, goodness. So if there's an aspiring author listening and they've got a story that's culminating in their brain, what is your best advice for that person?
Just write it. Don't hesitate. Just write it. Don't be afraid to start, because you have to start somewhere. So you can figure out the details as you go, but just get started. Nothing, you have nothing to lose by just sitting down and starting to write that first chapter, first paragraph even.
Now, what do you do for editing? Do you have an editor that edits your stuff? Do you hire somebody? Okay.
I do. I actually have four different editors that I use. And I usually have two of them read each book. So I feel like everybody misses something. Like, I don't care how thorough you are, you're going to miss something. And so I usually have one of them read it and then send it to the other one. And that's been working really well, I think. And then I also have a team of readers who read the advanced copies. And some of them are just excellent at catching those little sneaky typos that slip through the cracks. And so I feel like I've got an excellent team that really helped me make the books the best they can be.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Yeah. You can't feel like you're just going to get that book on paper and then just go out and, you know, put it.
No, I highly encourage anyone writing to hire a professional to edit your books. It makes a big difference.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely. Even if you're really good at your grammar and punctuation, it really helps. And just even with the clarity and stuff, because sometimes an editor will think of questions that you didn't think about whenever you were in the zone, you know?
Absolutely. Yes, for sure. They catch things you never would even think about needing to be caught. So.
Yeah. Yeah. That's wonderful. That's wonder. And you call your husband, what do you call him? I can't remember.
Captain Cave Dweller.
Captain Cave Dweller. And where do you and your husband live?
Pardon?
Where do you live?
We live in Eastern Oregon. We've always been in Oregon. He's always been in Oregon. I spent a little time in Arizona in college, but for the most part, we've always been Oregonians and love it here. We're about 3.5 hours from where we both grew up, the county where we grew up. But yeah, we're all still in the Oregon area and love it here and plan to stay for a while.
Oh, that's nice. That's nice. Well, anything else you would like to share with the listeners?
Just that I am so grateful for this opportunity. It's so fun to hang out with you today. So thank you for that. And a big thank you to all my readers. They truly are the best, and I appreciate them so, so much.
Well, thank you so much for being a part of this. I really appreciate it. If you haven't subscribed to the magazine yet, the Prairie Dust Trail magazine is available now. And just go over to prairiedusttrail.com, and it's right there on the front. We're getting a lot of great reviews on that, and I'm just really, really enjoying the team that's putting that together. So we will catch you all on the next episode of Real Life on the Prairie.